Good question. Up to you to answer. Does God exist? Does God exist? How do you know? How do you know? Yeah, I see monkeys. Don't get stumped. That's why it's important to study the Word, look at the Word of God, because people will ask you that question. Does God exist? Doing a bit of research over the years, I've got folders that I, when I find things, I put them in and then I draw them out on occasions like this. How many stars are in the universe? You see the guy there? He looks up. It's infinite. How many stars are in the universe? And yet, according to the Bible, and we ask ourselves, is the Bible reliable? Well, there's no other book as reliable as the Bible. In the Bible, it says he created them and he named them. He named every star. So this must be some big God. But we ask ourselves, how many stars are in the universe? And before calculating the number of stars in the universe, astronomers first have to estimate the number of galaxies. And now we ask, how many galaxies are in the world, or in the universe, should I say? And looking at NASA and a couple of other commentaries, to estimate the number of galaxies, to do that, they take a detailed picture of small parts of the sky, like that one. Small parts of the sky, and count all the galaxies they see in those pictures. That number that they've got, then what they do is multiplied by the number of pictures needed to photograph the whole sky. And this is some task. The answer is, once they've done all this, there are approximately 2 trillion galaxies in the universe. That is not the latest. The latest data that I've seen, there are 3 trillion galaxies in the universe. It is said that the Milky Way has about 100 billion stars, only the Milky Way. Notice, it's an estimate. Is that final? No. We look at Hubble telescope, that's outdated, with the Webb telescope, and the Webb telescope goes further than the Hubble telescope. So they're discovering more galaxies. So when they say the Milky Way is about 100 billion stars, that's only an estimate. Now the next step, using the Milky Way as our model, we can multiply the number of stars in a typical galaxy, which is 100 billion, by the number of galaxies, which is 2 trillion. And we come up with that number. The answer is absolutely astounding. There are approximately 200 billion trillion stars in the universe. Approximate. Or put it in another way, 200 sextillion stars. And there they are. 200 sextillion stars. Oh, I know, there is no God. There was a bang and boom. There was a bang. God spoke and bang, it happened. Because nothing can't create anything. Nothing creates nothing. How do we know that God exists? We hear that so often. I hear that quite often. Some of you hear that. Prove to me that God exists. Prove to me that God exists. Swing it. No, you prove to me that God does not exist. It's the same with salvation. How do you know you're saved? I was there when it happened. Simple, right? How do you argue with that? I was there when it happened. You were not there, so you can't say anything. So we always want to defend the faith, but let's rather proclaim the faith. Proclaim the word of God. Don't defend it. Just proclaim it. Prove to me that God exists. And I would submit this morning that my opinion, my theories, and the opinions of others does not determine the existence of God. The existence of God is outside of my theories. My theory doesn't determine if there's a God or not. God exists, plain and simple. It's impossible to say that it does not exist. Why do I say that? Well, to prove from a natural point that the supernatural does not exist, the natural must have some tendency, some characteristic within him of the supernatural. For instance, for a natural to prove that the supernatural does not exist, which the supernatural is ever present, I've got to have at least some ever presentness within me to prove that an all present God doesn't exist. Or I've got to have a tremendous amount of knowledge to at least prove that the all knowing God doesn't exist. Because the natural cannot disprove the supernatural. And then when you go through the scriptures, the Bible says God just laughs at the people down on earth. Because why? They're stupid. Prove to me. The question would be, what would you take as an acceptable level of proof? What would you take as an acceptable level of proof that God does exist? What do you want to know? Well, we can only go to scriptures. And usually when skeptics ask us Christians for proof, they are usually calling for scientific proof for God's existence. Does science prove there is no God? No. Science doesn't prove there is no God. Oh, there are some that would proclaim there is no God, but doesn't prove it. Science is not written in stone. Science changes. And even if I look in the little bit of knowledge that I do have within the food industry, I mean, I can recall way back, it was proven you mustn't eat many eggs. Now they tell you what? Eat eggs, man. And that's why Ray and Kathy has got their chickens producing eggs. Eat eggs. Oh, don't drink milk. Not good for you. Now, drink milk. Oh, don't go for butter anymore. You've got to go for margarine. Now, oh, have the butter. And they've disproved. I mean, we've spoken about this before. Oh, no, Coke is unhealthy. False, Coke is good. Jen, keep your mouth closed, okay? How do we know that God exists? How do we know that? The answer can be given in two parts. This may come as a shock to people, but it's a reality and it's a fact. All people have been given an inner sense of God. Not certain people. All people have been given an inner sense of God. From creation. Second, we all believe the evidence that is found in scripture and in nature. Those two go hand in hand. As we look at humanity's inner sense of God, all persons everywhere have a deep inner sense that God exists. Why? They have been created by God. Paul says that even Gentile unbelievers knew God, but did not honor him as God or gave thanks to him or give thanks to him. In Romans 1, 20 and 21, we're going to look at two different translations. As you know, I try and mix the translations up a little bit just to bring the point across. Does it really validate the translations I use? Not necessary, but if I look at a translation and it has a great meaningful thought, I will present it by taking a long and thoughtful look at what God has created. People have always been able to do what? See what their eyes as such can't see. Eternal power, for instance. And the mystery of his divine being. So nobody, listen to that now, nobody has a what? So why do they come up with excuses? Because they're stupid, sure. What happened was this. People knew God perfectly well. But when they didn't treat him like God, notice that, refusing to worship him, they trivialized themselves. When they refuse to acknowledge that there is a God, they come up with something else. And that something else is birthed in the head. They trivialize themselves into silliness and confusion so that there was neither sense nor direction left in their lives. Now look at the other. Passion translation. Opposition to truth cannot be excused. Notice this now. Opposition to the truth. What is truth? We've come to the conclusion, Jesus is truth. Opposition to truth cannot be excused on the basis of ignorance. So, we willfully are ignorant at times. Sometimes we just plain ignorance because we're too lazy to do research. Or, alternatively, we don't want to acknowledge the inward conviction that is there. Because when you do wrong, internally, you are convicted. Well, who put that conviction there? Your forefather, the gorilla, the chimpanzee, or God? That didn't just happen. Conscience didn't just happen. Opposition to truth cannot be excused on the basis of ignorance because from the creation of the world, the invisible qualities of God's nature has been made visible. That's why you hear me often say, God is not discovered, God reveals himself. To whoever, seek me and you'll find me. Has been visible, such as his what? His eternal power and transcendence. He has made his wonderful attributes easily perceived, but we complicate it. For seeing the visible makes us understand the invisible. So then this leaves who? Who's everyone? Without what? There is no excuse. Does God exist? I don't believe God exists. That will not determine whether he exists or not. Because he's infinite, I am finite. Throughout human history, the fingerprints of God were upon them. Notice, please. Throughout human history, we're not speaking of the latest. Throughout human history, the fingerprints of God were upon them. Yet they did what? They refused to honor him as God or even be thankful for his kindness. So what do? They come up with something else. They manufacture something. They don't want to accept that there's a God because when there's a God, man's got to be accountable and man doesn't like to be accountable. When there's a God, there's conviction, and they don't want the conviction. When there's a God, they've got to lay certain things aside that displeases God. But no, I'll do it my way. Thank you, Frank Sinatra. Instead, they entertained what? Corrupt and foolish thoughts about what God was like. What was the result? What is the result? When you don't acknowledge that there is a God, and once again, in people acknowledging, well, I don't believe there's a God, that's your prerogative and your problem. It's not going to change the fact that there is a God. It's also not going to eliminate the fact that you will stand before God one day and give an account of your life. You can deny God as much as you want. I'm not saying you. People can deny God as much as they like. But they will stand before God and give an account of their life. Well, I'll take my chances. How stupid. Because there is a heaven and there is a hell. And once you die, you've reached the point of no return. This left them with nothing. Their arguments, that which they manufactured, the thoughts that went into a different direction, trying to say there is no God, this left them with nothing but misguided hearts. Tell you what, forever searching, this theory, that theory, never fulfilled, because there's only one being that can fulfill the heart of the human being, and that is God Himself through Jesus Christ. Nobody else can fulfill that desire in your heart. Nobody can fill that emptiness in your heart but God. This left them with nothing but misguided hearts, steeped in what are we seeing around the world? Why? Because they will not acknowledge God. The minute you acknowledge God, it interferes with your way of living. So I'd rather not have Him say anything about my life. I'm going to run my life my way. We'll pay the price for that. He says, the Bible, the wicked unbelievers have exchanged the truth about God for a lie. Give you a number of scriptures this morning. Romans 1:25. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, this is typical human nature. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately did what? Choose to believe lies. Lie number one, there is no God. It's a lie. Based on what? There is no God? Based on what? What evidence? So what do? When they deliberately... You see, man wants to worship. But man doesn't want to worship the God that created them. So they think of something else. So they pray to the things God made. Like what? Frogs? Buddhas? Idols? Why? Because those statues, those idols, can't communicate with Him. So they can do as they please without conviction. Let me rather choose the idol. Who made the idol? Look at the stupidity of the human being. Won't acknowledge that there's a supreme being that they cannot see, but will acknowledge a God that they've created with their own hands. Think of this, how stupid that is. You create this God and you call it sound. Oh, sound, how wonderful you are. Sound doesn't speak back to you. sound is dead. And then all of a sudden, sound falls down. The very God that has been created by the individual. Oh, sound, you need help. I need to put you together again. It's like Humpty Dumpty. But they will worship sound. Why? Because they created sound. Why not worship the God that created them? So they deliberately choose to believe lies. How many people are believing lies? Everyone that doesn't believe in the existence of God is believing a lie. Our responsibility is to proclaim the word of God and let the Holy Spirit convict. So they pray to the things God made but wouldn't obey the blessed God who made these things. And this implies that they actively or willfully rejected some truth about God's existence and character that they knew. Paul says that what can be known about God is plain to them. And adds, this is because God has shown it to them. Way back, even to this day. Is man without excuse? No. Romans 1:19, Amplified and Passion again. For that which is known about God is what? Evident to them. And made plain in the inner consciousness. How many of us have got a conscience? Every single one of us. That conscience can be seared through stubbornness. Through violating the principles of God over and over and over, that conscience can be seared and made plain in the inner conscience. And that's the most difficult thing to understand. What is conscience? We know what it does, but what is it? We can't explain those things. But notice, and made plain in the inner consciousness. And that's when you become born again, that light shines brightly. Because prior to salvation, it's dead, man. Because God Himself has shown it to them. Look at the next translation, Passion Translation. In reality, the truth of God is known instinctively. Why? Because He created us. He created the human being. I go back to the previous statement I made. When people do wrong, what convicts them inside? God is known instinctively. For God has embedded His knowledge where? Every human heart. If that is the case, that God has embedded this knowledge, the truth about Him in every human heart, is man without excuse? No. No. I did not know. No, inward you knew. Inward you know. Because it's embedded in every human heart. However, the scripture also recognizes that some people deny this inner sense of God, and even deny that God exists. Oh, how do we know that? Psalm 14 verse 1, two different translations. Only fools say in their hearts there is no God. So the next time somebody says to you, I don't believe in God, you say to that person, I've read about you. Really? Yeah. You are actually stated in Psalm 14 verse 1. The Bible says you're a fool. Then run. Only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. Why do they say there is No, God. The answer is right on that screen. They are corrupt. We go back to Romans. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But yet within every human being is the knowledge that there is a God. They are corrupt and their actions are evil. Not one of them does good. Look at the next translation. God's Word translation. Godless fools say in their hearts, there is no God. The Bible states it very clearly, they are corrupt. And do what? They do disgusting things. There is no one who does good things. Ties up with Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And now we find this same concept repeated in Psalm 53 verse 1. Same concept. You don't, it's not on the screen. You can check it out for yourself. So what do we have? It is the wicked person who first curses and renounces the Lord and then in pride repeatedly thinks there is no God. So one action leads to another action because when they want to tell us there is no God, they want to try and prove their belief to us. But how can they prove their belief to us if they are corrupt? Am I going to listen to a corrupt individual? Am I going to listen to a person that lies, that does no good? No. If you want to know how to go and rob a bank, you speak to a bank robber. That's the only time you listen to a bank robber. When you violate the principles in God's word, don't steal. In Psalm 10, verses 3 and 4, God's word translation, I want you to see the character of the individual that denies God, or the character of the individual that does not believe in God, or the character of the individual that is not born again. You and I were in that category of not born again for years until you and I found Jesus Christ, or he found us. The wicked person boasts about his selfish desires. So this is the thing though. The wicked person boasts about his selfish desires. Notice there's no room for God. And that's why in the New Testament, we read of the deeds of the flesh. The deeds of the flesh are immorality. And what I love about Galatians, speaking about the deeds of the flesh, you notice the deeds in plural of the flesh. But then in verse 20, 21, somewhere it speaks about, and the fruit of the Spirit. The differences between the deeds of the flesh, people that are not born again, and people that are born again produce fruit, although it be sometimes lemons. The wicked person boasts about his selfish desires. And now we find ourselves in this very position in our own country. What? That good is evil and evil is good. We see that being manifested in our own country. Where our principles have changed. Our ideology has changed or is changing. We see that things that were abhorrent are now magnified. The wicked person boasts about his selfish desires. He blesses robbers, but he curses the Lord. I don't know on which aisle you are in. I had to learn this when Heather and I came to America. I had to look at what the voting system is all about. And I had to research to see which of the groups stand for what. And I think over the years, you've got to know Heather and myself a little better. And if not, he has a rude awakening. We believe there is a God. We believe a marriage is between a man and a woman. We believe that life matters. We believe that God saves, that God loves people. We also believe that God ought to be mentioned regularly by our leaders in this country if we say this country was birthed on biblical standards, some of it. Although the founders themselves may not necessarily have followed that which they wrote down. But they believed in God. And now I find myself in a situation, or I observe, there's one particular party that never mentions God. And there's another party that mentions God a lot. So in my own understanding, if there's one that mentions God a lot and one that doesn't mention God ever, where am I going as a Christian? I'm not talking about a non-Christian. Secondly, I've got to make it very plain and clear. And most probably we'll drop to half attendance next week after this. God loves Israel. For some unknown reason, the Jew has been set aside by God. For some unknown reason. Well, the reason, if we want to know that salvation has come from the Jew. And if we say, I love Jesus, you better love a Jew. Because Jesus is a Jew. And salvation that was spread throughout the world came from a Jew. So the salvation you and I have in Christ is all because of a Jew. They took the gospel message to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles heard the message. While many of the Jews rejected the message of the Messiah, the Gentiles accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, which you and I have done. So I've got to say to you that I believe in a God that loves human beings. I believe in a God that loves Israel. And it's amazing how this little country the size of New Jersey has withstood onslaught after onslaught after onslaught, generation, 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 and it still stands. I would submit to you, it's only by the grace of God. She's a miracle. And when Jesus comes back to earth again, where do you think he's coming? To New Jersey? To Massachusetts? Oh, God help us. No, we need him in Massachusetts. He's coming back to America. No, he's not. He's coming back to Jerusalem. So I'm in a position that I've got to discern. What do I want? Who am I going to go with? What am I going to do? And as I've informed you over all the years that I've been ministering God's word, you've got to try, because both parties, or even the third party or the independent, all three of them are not right all the time. They're made up of human beings. But if I can help you at the next election, particularly the midterm election, you've got to, please, you've got to look at who you're going to vote for, who stands as closely as possible to the word of God. If we say we want a godly nation, we've got to vote for somebody as closely possible to the word of God. Are we voting for perfection? No, there's only one, and that's me. You fool. There's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. All we are doing is trusting. I heard, was it Ronald Reagan made a statement? They quoted a saying of his that the people are not ruled by government, but the people rule the government. I've analyzed that a little bit. And my conclusion is, the people are only pawns. Just think about that. I'm not getting into politics. I know some of you, get on with it, get on. The people are pawns. At this point in time, the government almost does as it pleases. They will put cameras wherever they want cameras. They will tax you whenever they want more money. So goes our local towns. And that's why our local towns are in such a mess. Instead of trying to overspend, get a budget, man, a proper budget. The wicked person boasts about his selfish desires. He blesses robbers. But he curses the Lord. Oh, but I thought you don't believe. It's the same with the atheist. I don't believe in God, but when they, oh, God, help me. Oh, sure, now whatever I got, yeah. He blesses robbers, but he curses the Lord. He turns up his nose. Now look at this. He turns up his nose. So it's not only the rich people that turn up their noses. Stupid people do it too. He turns up his nose and says, God doesn't care. His every thought concludes. There is no God. Based on what? Based on what? His selfish desires, and he comes to a conclusion. There is no God. Can I trust this person? No. No. I cannot trust this person. New Living Translation. For they brag about their evil desires. They praise the greedy and curse the Lord. If there is no God, why are you cursing him? The wicked are too proud to seek God. Why? Now they've got to submit. Now they've got to follow different principles. The wicked are too proud to seek God. They seem to think. Notice. They seem to think that God is dead. Yet they don't say he is dead. They seem to think that God is dead. But there will be a rude awakening for them unless they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because the Bible says, at the end of the age, the books will be opened. And every man, every woman will stand before the great white throne judgment. And whosever name is not written in that Lamb of Book of Life will be thrown into the lake of fire. So what now? This is only temporary. This is not eternal. But this leads to eternal destruction unless they change. These passages that I've referred to indicate both that sin leads people to think what? Irrationally. It's easy to think irrationally when you're whipped up by a crowd. When there's a crowd and they start whipping you up against anti-government, it's easy to be caught up within that spirit. So, they think irrationally. And also to deny God's existence. And that is someone who is thinking irrationally or has been deceived who will say there is no God. If they are thinking irrationally, I can understand that. If they are deceived, I can also understand it, because the God of this earth has blinded the people's eyes. And only the Holy Spirit can enlighten them through the power of the gospel. Paul also recognizes that sin will cause people to deny their knowledge of God. He speaks of those by their wickedness suppress the truth. And this is very important for all of us this morning and for you that mix out there a lot in the world to understand this. To mix with people that aren't born again, your co-workers. Romans 8, 1 verse 18, contemporary English version, today's English version, just to bring the point across. From heaven God shows how angry he is with all the wicked and evil things that sinful people do what? Didn't Pilate ask Jesus, what is truth? And evil things that sinful people do to crush the truth. Brothers, sisters, ladies and gentlemen, we are finding ourselves in this dispensation, in this era, in our own country, that truth is trying to be eliminated. Truth is trying to be crushed by different ideologies and different way of thinking. He's angry with all the wicked and evil things that sinful people do to crush the truth. Look at today's English version. God's anger is revealed from heaven against all the sin and evil of the people, whose evil ways prevent the truth from being known. That's where we are in our own country. It's escalating. I have observed over the several years now how there's been such an attack on the flag, such an attack on the anthem, such an attack on Christianity, such an attack on people that want to live righteous lives. It contradicts the ways of the sinner. The sad thing is the sinner and the ways of the sinner outnumber the righteous. But one man with God is a majority. Stand for truth. Stand for truth. Do not go left or right. If there's ever a time in our country now, as born again children of God, we need to proclaim the truth and let the chips fall wherever they need to fall. Otherwise, you'll be sucked into a system that is anti-God, whose evil ways prevent the truth from being known. And Paul said that those who do this are without excuse, Romans 1:20. And then we're going to go over to two more scriptures and we'll conclude. Romans 1:20, Passion Translation. Opposition of truth cannot be excused on the basis of ignorance. I don't know. There's more than enough evidence out there to say you ought to know. Open your eyes. Because from the creation of the world, the invisible qualities of God's nature has been made visible. You look at the power that's brought this whole universe into being. Has been made visible, such as his eternal power and transcendence. He has made his wonderful attributes easily perceived. All present, all knowing. For seeing the visible makes us understand the invisible. So then, this leaves everyone without excuse. Now, to sum this up, does God exist? Yes, I will get to that. Looking at people who say there is no God, you look at their lifestyle, and the lifestyle portrays to you and me why they don't believe in God, because it interferes in their selfish way of living. There is willful suppression of God. Have we done Romans 1:20? If we have, go 1:23. There we go. That's the one. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, you see, folks, let me calm down a little bit. If we look at the scripture and we want to dissect, analyze the scripture, you'll notice there's only two options here. Option, I believe in God. Option, I don't believe in God. And then when you dig deeper into the scripture, you will find out there's a reason why they don't believe in God. But they've only got two options. God or no God. But they really don't really want to say there's no God. Well, some of them are very bold in that. But in reality, what do they want to do? They want to substitute the real God with what? A man-made God. And that's what it says over here. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols. Okay. Who made them? Who made the idols? People did. So people want to worship that which they made. Why? They worship idols. Now look how they formed the idols. Made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Hinduism, what, 30 million gods? I'll go crazy. Which god do I pray to? The rat, the cow, the cockroach? Or is there a god for every occasion? If there's cockroaches in the kitchen, pray for the cockroach god to take the cockroaches out of the kitchen. They worshipped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. Verse 25. They traded the truth about God for a lie. How quick can that happen? Quick. They traded the truth. It all depends on the individual circumstance when they will swap God for a lie. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things God created. Once again, they worshipped the things that God created. God created the birds. No, the birds just came from a big bang. Instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Oh, verse 28. Since they thought it foolish to it. What's so foolish in acknowledging that there's a God? Can you help me? What's so foolish about it? From my perspective, I know that I was blind in sin. Now I'm awake and I'm alert and I can see through the eyes of faith. And I can say, how stupid. Why didn't I accept Christ long ago? Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them, gave them over. And what he does here, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking. In other words, he let them go down that downward spiral. You want to go that route? There's all the evidence that I'm here. You want to go down this route, this rabbit hole? Go for it. It's your choice. To their foolish thinking, and let them do things that should never be done. Oh, I told you a few minutes ago that by the statement I made, half of you will come back next week. Now I'll make another statement that will reduce that to a quarter. There's a huge difference between a man and a woman. Created equal in God's sight. But there's a huge difference between a man and a woman. And the reason is God made it that way. And also eventually through marriage, the two shall become one. And things that are so common sense that is being projected and proclaimed today. And I will make it a bold statement. Women stay in women's sports and men stay in women's sports. Fine. I know that I've reduced the congregation to a quarter next week, and that's absolutely fine. But biblical truth will be proclaimed. It's not a Republican thing. It's not a Democrat thing. It's not an independent thing. It's a biblical thing. And I would prefer us to stay on the biblical track. Oh, no, you got to get with it. No, 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 no. You got to get with it. The word was written before you. So you get in line with the word and not make the word align with your ideology. Abandon them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. 32, we close. I'll wrap it up. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Notice, yet they do them anyway. Why? They're stupid. Worse yet. Worse yet. What do they do? Are you the others? They will encourage you. People will No. We must encourage them about biblical principles and biblical standards. We've got to do that. Is there a price? Oh, a massive price. Absolutely. Our forefathers in the Christian faith paid the price. And we will pay the price. In fact, the universe, or since the universe appears to be designed with a purpose, looking at these amount of galaxies out there, the amount of stars out there, it seems to be designed with a purpose. Seems to be? Or is it designed? It's not seems to be. It is designed with a purpose. Because Colossians says, all things were created by him and for his own pleasure. There's the root. There's the cause. There's the purpose. There must be an intelligent and purposeful God who created it to function this way. All of a sudden, they discover, oh, the universe is enlarging itself. Well, the Bible says hell also is going to enlarge itself. What is out there? What do the UFO files teach us? Nothing. Did they find any green guy out there? No. Did they find odd beings out there? No. What have they found? Oh, water on the moon. Now we're going to Mars. Now they're hammering the poor first trillionaire in the world. Oh, he's just off the money. Man, he's designed things that blows your mind. Since the universe appears to be designed with a purpose, there must be an intelligent and purposeful God who created it to function this way. It cannot be left to random chance. This entire universe cannot be left to random chance. It's organized. It's well maintained. And somebody's in charge. Maybe the government. In fact, the universe does have God as its cause. And it does show evidence of purposeful design. And God does exist as a being greater than which nothing can be imagined. And God has given us a sense of right and wrong, whether we like it or not. He's given it to us. And a sense that his judgment is coming someday. So we get to the question we started off with. Does God exist? And the answer is Yes, God exists. And what I love about the fact that God exists, this God that created the universe, this God that created human beings from all walks of life, this God loved the human being so much that he sent his one and only Son, that who will ever believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This God that created everything has you and me on his mind. This God that is so big that I can't comprehend the greatness of him. I cannot fathom how big he is. I cannot fathom his wisdom. I cannot fathom his power, because he's only revealed a little of himself through the word. And that little that he has revealed brings me to the conclusion, how great is our God. And this very God that loved the human being so much, that says, come to me, come, accept my Son. This very God, after we've accepted his Son, has now adopted us into his family. Oh, give me a break. This God adopted me into his family. This God has given me the authority, the permission to call him Abba, Father, my Father, my Father. This God says, you're special to me. He doesn't say that about the giraffe. He doesn't say that about my forefather, the chimpanzee. I'm not an offspring of a chimpanzee. I've been created in the likeness and the image of the Almighty God. I'm special. And so are you. You are special. Yes, this God exists. And I can have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Blows my mind. He's far greater than a trillionaire. Everything belongs to him because he created it all. And then I'll conclude with this. Whoever is born again, if you're not born again this morning, will you accept Jesus as your Savior? Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Man, I'm a stupid sinner. I need you in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. And today I accept you as my Savior. Say that to Jesus. And when you say that and you start living the way that God wants you to live, we can proclaim, I am heirs of the Father and joint heir with the Son. What does that mean? What everything is mine. Whatever Jesus is mine. I'm in the royal family. You don't have to go to England to the royal family. You've got royal blood in you through Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior. Yes, this God exists. Trillions of stars. And look at the universe out there. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. Let's give him praise. Let's pray together. Father.